I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Natural disasters, and eventually the end of the world.
Are you serious?
There's a sense among some today that biology is in some ways replacing philosophy, or in some ways replacing everything, or at least rendering all past attempts moot. Do things need to be rethought in terms of evolutionary psychology, the idea of genetics and that sort of thing?
I think that philosophers began trying to come to terms with the results of Darwin and later the synthesis of Darwin and Mendel, and they did this throughout the 20th century. I don't think that there has been anything specially new in biology that requires any revision of the ways in which philosophers previously handled the theory of evolution. There's a lot of attempts by biologists to say, if you have genetics and evolutionary biology and cognitive science, you don't need philosophy. But scientists are always saying that. I mean, they're always saying the latest discovery in my field makes centuries of philosophical thought obsolete. It's almost never true.
So that's philosopher Richard Rorty, who has since then passed on, unfortunately.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Talking about philosophy, and basically responding to my question whether the current discussions around biology and technology and cognition and all those things aren't rendering everything we might learn from the ancient philosophers sort of moot. And I wonder what other people think, because I find myself, like, maybe 10, 20 years ago, I could, like, read Nietzsche or Kierkegaard or Sartre or any number of people and find them in some ways meaningful. And at a certain point, as you know, aside from a few interesting quotes or something like that, maybe an overall vibe from Nietzsche, it's very hard.
Starts to seem like you're wading through a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah, like why, you know.
Like it no longer applies to your life.
I'm surprised you mentioned a bunch of existentialists, though, because of any of the like major schools of philosophy, I think existentialism has the most to say about that.
Yeah, it's true. But I think you'll notice it deals with mortality and
yeah, but most of these guys are still firmly entrenched in this either in a culture of God or a culture that was just starting to.
And nobody believes in God anymore.
Well, I mean, no.
Ask Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, I mean, there's. There's obviously philosophy goes into one or two columns, you know, God based.
That
like,
reminds me. Did you guys see the South Park with Richard Dawkins?
That was lovely.
I didn't. But before we go on, I want to say.
I think when we start talking about philosophy, we should immediately just reduce it down to
South Park.
I'll reduce it down even further than that because that's my role on the show. So for those of you who write hate mail against me, you realize that it's
reduce
a,
it down.
I don't think we're actually too far off base because I remember reading Richard Rorty once saying that, you know, philosophy could be replaced with literature and it's less about what is absolute truth and more, you know, just learning how people in other times and other lifestyles fared and how they dealt with their situation, and that if people had more of an open-mindedness to people in other situations, then philosophy would become irrelevant.
Well, you can, you can easily supplant, but the way you do that is, it's easy to
and
contain a philosophy
a
within within literature. Yeah, I mean, if you have literature that imparts some basic, you know, theme, then you don't need somebody to sit there and go, I believe that blah blah blah. You'd have it, and in this society that's so, you know, entertainment minded, I mean, it actually cuts through, you know, to people more effectively probably than a treadist.
I'm seeing like a total circle here.
Immanuel Kant
was, we've got philosophy, we've got South Park. So I think we're all going to be wearing bracelets that say, "What would Cartman do?"
Yes. Wait a minute.
Does Cartman think of himself as a philosopher? I wonder. I mean, very few people would actually say, "I'm a philosopher."
I think Cartman feels he has
kind of a view. It's kind of down to the universities, basically, where people.
I've always called myself a philosopher, stand-up philosopher.
Oh, you're stealing from Timothy Leary now.
No.
That's from.
It's not stealing. It's research.
No, that's from Mel Brooks. History
really?
Of the World.
Well, then Tim stole it from Mel Brooks.
Yeah, he goes up to the unemployment line in ancient Rome, and it's B. Arthur who's running the fucking unemployment line. And he goes, you know, she asks him if what he does, a stand-up philosopher. And she goes, "Oh, a bullshit artist." "Well, did you bullshit last week?" "No." "Did you try to bullshit last week?" "Yes." One thing I want to get to, though, what's the testicle sack on this guy? This guy's voice. Well, we just heard the clip going through.
Have some respect,
laptop.
Man. He's dead. Talking about his
testicle. He had a deep
sack.
Voice. His old guy.
My
had a deep
God,
voice.
He's got an awesome fucking voice.
Jesus Christ, he made Boris Karloff sound like Andy Dick.
That was the only thing about that interview that I found worthwhile was his. Tenor of his voice was so like
God.
His voice is very commanding.
I could feel it in my testicles when he spoke.
Absolutely. I wasn't in the room.
Please,
but
you're talking about the dead. Well, one thing's interesting is that he's dead, and now
that's
he
true.
Knows
wonder,
all the answers there is to know about.
Were we his last
nothing.
Public? No, I'm sure he did.
No,
give a
I,
talk
I would
or something,
bet that we are probably
his
last
interview?
Public appearance. I can't imagine that.
It was pretty great.
It didn't
to come
seem
down
like
to the Lower Hayton.
He didn't seem like he was the sort of guy who was running around giving a lot of audio or video. Yeah. And he certainly was not interested in modern media or modern culture and had no... And that was interesting to me because, as I was saying earlier, Leary liked to talk about himself. May be one of the last people who, you know, went around calling himself a philosopher. At least he liked to talk about what was actually going on in the world, and you know, he'd talk to you about Beavis and Butthead. And,
right.
You know,
well, really. Actually, I want to ask you how many people of your peer group.
None.
Well, there we go. Keep track of like media and like contemporary, you know, culture.
I don't know who my peer group is, actually. This is probably my peer group at the moment. I do know...
people your age.
I do know...
I
do know a few, like, you know, sort of hippie types in their 50s and 60s who say... They won't watch television, you know. I hear that sometimes.
Oh, no, that's man, the typical elitist hippie crap.
I hate that. Yeah.
I love television. Just
oh
for the
my
record.
God, I just
I don't
you know
own
what?
A television.
I swear,
I never
God,
watch
I
it.
Have
you
the know, same
it's
reaction.
Just that kitschy little table over there. I keep magazines on.
I have the same reaction to that bumper sticker as I do. There's probably like 10 Hummers in all of like the Bay Area that like have a Bush Cheney sticker on them, and you'll see them sometimes like going.
Would you have Volvo?
Would you have them together? Bush Cheney, kill your television.
Well, never, I get some. I take never. Some solace in knowing that most of those people who don't own TVs and are like phobic of them, when they actually get in front of a TV, forget it. They can't turn away. They start slobbering.
Oh my god!
4 days later,
doesn't matter what's on. It's commercials or C-SPAN or whatever.
Anti-TV hippie, you know. And
what happens to those guys when they're driving down the freeway and they have those giant screens like by Saramonti?
Avert your eyes.
Yeah.
No, they're the ones overturned on the side of the road, dead.
Must not look. Yes, that's right. Crashed out anti-TV hippies. All
I'm the TV now. I must kill myself.
Yeah, actually, I saw Barlow actually at an EFF party right after the Bob.
He's one of them, isn't he?
Yeah, right after the Bob Dylan biographies had come out, and I said, you know, is he new Dylan and everything? You know, what did you think? I said, don't watch I consider it poison or something like that.
Well, that's a good point you brought, because I was thinking of Barlow earlier whenever you were talking about people who call themselves philosophers, because I bet he would call himself a philosopher.
Yeah,
he certainly acts like one.
John would probably call himself a philosopher, although it'd be pretty dissipated at this point. Well, Tim was pretty dissipated, but in terms of philosophy, he fairly consistent. There's a
Barlow wrote the whole Declaration of Independence in cyberspace or whatever.
Yeah,
the hell
that's
thing
more
was
like
that.
Activism than
but it
philosophy.
Was pretty sweeping.
I guess, I mean, you probably find some stuff that you would call philosophy on the edge, the John Brockman website that includes a lot of the sort of techno file elite.
Are you? What's your philosophy?
My philosophy is come in every Sunday and do the show and then try to drag out this conversation for 10 minutes and find an endpoint. Actually, I don't know what my philosophy is. You know, as every night before I go to sleep, I sort of remind myself that I don't have a fucking clue what's going on, and I don't really believe anything particularly.
Well, that means you're a fresh slate every morning.
Every
new
morning I wake up as a fresh slate, hungry for a bagel in the San Francisco Chronicle.
I thought it was have a good time
all the time.
You said it, baby. Turn that one up to 11.
Love's the only weapon. Shit!
Are you serious?